This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
I start with a nice word on Parshas Koirach. Parshas Yuf in the Dreshus, the Rebbeinu Bechai, brings a medrash Tanchim Yushan. Vayikach Koirach, Lukach Talisoi, Vuhulach Little Aitza Meishtoi. It was Vayikach Koirach, he took his talis and went to ask his wife what he should do. And the medrash in Mishlei that says there were two Ashirim, one be Yisroel, one be Emes Hoylem, one was Homan, one was Koirach. They both took advice from their wives and they both fell through with it. They weren't successful. We do find in the Gemara as well, mentioned in a moment, that you know, not always is taking a suggestion from your wife, not always is taking her advice helpful. On the other hand, we find Avraham Avinu was told Shema Bekoila, Kol Hashem Elecha Surah, Shema Bekoila. Amram, right, went Batsas Ishtoi, Yecheved, Oim Ben Peles, talk about the story of Koirach. We find that Ishtoi Tzilusoi, Chachmas Nushim Ban Tzabaisa. We definitely find that sometimes listening to a wife is seen as a bad idea, and sometimes it's actually what saves a person. The Gemara itself, we find also by Rabbi Luzman Azari, before he became Musti, he went to ask his wife, should he take the Nasiyas? We definitely find a lot of big people that took their wives' suggestions seriously. There's a cipher in Maya Shurim, Kadman, earlier cipher, and he talks about, you know, what's this seeming contradiction over here? Are you supposed to listen to your wife? You're not supposed to listen to your wife. And he says, it depends on who it is. If it's an Ishak Shaira, Ish Yiras Hashem, then of course you should be listening to her. Suri Maini, Oim Ben Peles, or Yecheved, of course those are the ones you should listen to. And if it was a wife like Koirach's wife, or Homan's wife, you know, that those are the ones you shouldn't be listening to. But the truth is, the Gemara itself, the Sefer Chassidim also says, Alikach Aitzu Me'ishtoi B'dvar Mitzvah. So the Gemara Bo Messiah talks about, you know, is a Hoylech B'tzas Ishtoi Neufel Gehenem, or not. And the Gemara also makes a difference. Who Mila Da Alma, who Mila Da Shmaya, who Mila Da Alma, who Mila Da Baisa. There are things you should listen to, things you shouldn't listen to. You have to know the Avios. Sefer Chassidim says that when it comes to the Bar Mitzvah, because a woman is more stingy, she can ask her if she should be doing a certain mitzvah. Say, no, it costs too much money. You shouldn't ask her. So it definitely seems to be a little complicated. There's a medrash that also uses the illusion, Yesh Shemayel Ishtoi Imafsid, Yesh Shemayel Ishtoi Imestaker. There are those that are rewarded and they benefit from listening to the wives, and there are those that they fail because of it. Also, the Medrash says, would the magician listen to his wife? Look what happened to him. He ate from the Eitz Adas, wasn't a great idea. Avraham Avinu listened to his wife, and it was a great idea. I think it all boils down to a lot of judgment, a lot of set d'shmaya. Anyone who tries getting too extreme with these things, you know, just a week ago, a woman wrote me an email that her husband wasn't doing what she thought was the right thing to do, and she couldn't handle it. She thought that he didn't have the right to do something the way she thought that he should be doing it. I'm reading it, I'm wondering to myself, what makes you think that he has to be doing things the way you want? Now, in some situations, she's right though. When people tell me, my wife told me to do it, that's why I didn't do it. I don't want to think she can tell me what to do. I don't want her giving suggestions, it's not her business. How does that work? So I think that from all these Mamur Chazal and the seeming contradictions that we find, I think it becomes clear that, in Yiddish they say, Mdavisim v'yam v'yos. It's important, like everything else in life, to in mind das avdu de minayin. You have to know when it's a good idea to do something the way your wife is telling you to do. And it could be there is that chachmas nushim ban sabayse bin yisayro, or whatever you want to call it, that women have that extra insight that you men may be missing and not noticing on your own. And then there are other times that, you know, your wife is probably giving you a bad idea, and just submitting to her authority and being the good yingle who's listening to mommy might not be a good idea. So I think it's just like everything in life. There's no black and white, and anyone who claims that there is black and white is already making a mistake, and this is something we find clearly in Chazal. So let's go on to a question, even though there's more to talk about that. Thank you for the Yiddish class of Parshas Devarim. Okay, this is going back almost a year ago already. You wrote out very clearly the balance between having proper respect for parents and no hurt feelings, and going according to the Torah. Okay, so I'll mention that in a moment. Okay, my question is a little bit different. I'm married for over 25 years, and then the dynamics of the family, which is not relevant over here, just to get identifying details over here. But I see that although most of my children have a good relationship with my wife, I have one son that, after reading half your book, I don't understand it clearly yet, but I would say that he and his mother, that's his wife, are both very sensitive, Needless to say, both of them are walking around with a lot of hurt baggage, to the point that every little thing becomes a big deal, especially on the weekend, where he's home from yeshiva longer and small things become a big deal. So I'm the husband and the father, feeling very stuck between both of them. Whatever I do will hurt someone. Now, for some reason, we were planning on taking my son on a trip with some of the other children to go into Eretz Yisroel. It seems that it's going to be a trip of a lifetime, because this is not something we do often. I'm just very concerned that things shouldn't go sour between my son and his mother. What could a husband and father do to make sure this trip will go smoothly? I'm sure we'll have to find the solution to the bigger picture, but this trip is going to be very soon, and if you can give me some advice, and maybe we could still make up a time to discuss this. Thank you very much. Okay. So let me just start off by saying that this is referring to a class that I gave last year about the person who was writing the question and getting along with their parents. It was an adult asking, how do I get along with my parents? They're telling me what to do. And it's causing problems with my shalom bayis, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly. And the class was about being respectful, being mekayem kibud av hoam, not being controlled, make sure you're not hurting anyone's feelings. It was a very, I always try to give the balance and the healthy Torah perspective. So here you have somebody who heard that class and he's noticing this going on between his own child and his wife. Right? If my son and my wife are not getting along, so you advise my son in that class, so to speak, how to get the right balance of being very respectful and still making sure not to be hurt and getting the Das Torah to get the balance right. What do I do watching from the side? So in this question, there's a short-term question and a long-term question. The short-term question, on the one hand, is a little easier to solve. Right? It's just a week of a vacation or a week of a trip that you're trying to figure out. Okay, it's shorter, it's more specific. On the other hand, it's less predictable because you never took such a trip before, so you don't know where things are going to happen. The bigger picture, the long-term relationship, on the one hand, could be a little more difficult to get it right long-term, but then again, you're dealing with more predictable and more patterns and things that you've seen already. So I'm not going to be addressing much about the trip, which happened already half a year ago, probably. Maybe we spoke about it one-on-one. But let's just talk about this situation that's being described, this relationship. I'll start by saying that, sadly, but realistically speaking, this is very typical. Very typical. There are hurt feelings and sour relationships everywhere. And I would say just about in every family. And I'll say that this was always the way it was. This is not a 2023 thing, very clearly. Relationships in general, and the ideas of Benudin Lachavayre, the ideas of people not getting along, the ideas of people getting hurt, the ideas of parents and children not understanding each other. This is as old as history itself, as old as mankind. The first people didn't get along. This is what history was all about. Sometimes people look at it like today's generation, or it's a chitzpah issue, or things like that, a chinuch issue. And then there are those that were the trauma, and the Holocaust, all these different kind of ideas and attachments. This is always the way it was. There were always people not getting along, not feeling attached. And in many families, the dynamics over here of a parent with one of the children is very common, very common. I'm not saying it's always that way, I'm not saying it always should be that way, but it's very common that in a dynamic of a family setting with a few children, that one of the parents should have an issue with at least one of the children is very common. And the fact that the other parent is sometimes called the monkey in the middle is also very common. Saying that it's common doesn't mean it's normal or healthy or gewünscht, but it's common. Reading my book, like you said, it might help you understand why this is happening. And what's really underlying, and like you mentioned, a lot of sensitivity and getting ideas about how to help people overcome their sensitivities or how to make sure that you're avoiding people from getting hurt. As a matter of fact, by the time you read my book and you understand people's personalities well, you can sometimes predict what's going to happen. You can predict people not getting along. You see two people that are liking each other and getting along with each other, and you could almost predict sometimes, interestingly, that it's not going to last. They don't have what it takes to naturally just get along. So either they're going to put in the work, or they're going to try to overcome the difficulties. And if they just let things run the natural course, they might not get along. So aside from being typical, what you're describing, it's sometimes even predictable. So it just normalizes it a little more even. And in general, even when things aren't as strained and as tough and as difficult, there are some other relationships that aren't great, let's call it. So like I said, any mami, not dafka mami, could be a tati, any tati or mami who has a family with a number of children will often have those children that they find easier to get along with and those that they find harder to get along with. And that's even more common than the ones where there's actually a lot of conflict. Now, to talk about responsibility, right, because the question is like trying to figure out what to do over here, I think it's important for everyone to realize, everyone in their own way, that everyone is responsible for themselves. Everybody. So before I talk about what you're not responsible for someone else's problem, but everyone is responsible for their own actions. That's part of Choyves Udam Baloma. That's what we're here in this world for. We're here to control ourselves. When I don't get along with someone, even if it's truly the other person is wrong, even if the other person is causing a problem, whatever it is, I'm still responsible for my own actions. So many people get so stuck on right and wrong, and they just love being right. They like they'll do anything to hold the right card. And from there on, if I could feel right, or I could convince you that I'm right, so I'm absolved. I don't have to do anything. I'm not obligated, right? Because I'm right. It's a very childish way of seeing things. Same thing as bichlal with parents and children, where parents a lot of times hold the right card because I'm the parent, so I'm right. Well, I'm the parent. And same thing as shulam bayit. I'm right because this is what we agreed to, or this is what we assumed, and you're the one that made the change. Now, you could be right, and sometimes it's good to be right, and good to know that you're right, and definitely feels good to be right. It doesn't mean that you're not responsible for your part in a puzzle, in a relationship. And this is something that people definitely have to understand when it comes to the word responsibility. You're responsible for your actions. The fact that somebody did something wrong, or provoked you, or did the first mistake, doesn't mean that you're allowed to make the second mistake now. It's still important for everyone who did provoke someone else, or did cause a problem, to know that they should take more responsibility because they were more wrong, and they should have done better. But everyone is responsible for their own actions. And that's something that nobody should ever justify something that they did wrong because someone else did something wrong. That's for sure. Obviously, when it's not you, when it's not you, you're watching other people not get along. So there's two things. First of all, you're not responsible for what other people do. You're not responsible. Second of all, you're less capable. When it's you and someone else, even if you're the person in the right and the other person's in the wrong, you're more capable. Even if you're a little less responsible, you're more capable to do something, to react properly, to interact properly, you know, to figure out the way to... But with someone else, you're less responsible. You're not responsible for other people's... Obviously, you want to help everyone do the right thing, and you want to be mechanech your children. I know, but you're not responsible for what people end up choosing to do. That's just how it works. You can't control anyone. And you're less capable. It's important for people to know that. Before you even try to get it right, just remember, you're not responsible. And you might not be capable. Now, you are responsible to not provoke and instigate other people's not getting along. You are responsible not to enable it if there was something that you should have said right and you could have said right and you decided not to for whatever reason. You're ignoring a problem which could have been resolved by the fact that you just would say something. Now, obviously, there's a lot of things that people could and should do, and if they don't do that, then maybe they're responsible for not doing that. But in general, to say that you're responsible, you're responsible for someone else's actions or choices, that's a problem. And I'm saying this for two reasons. I'm saying it so that if somebody tries making you feel like you're responsible, how could you not do this? It's all your fault. You have to remember that it's not. It may not be. It may very possibly not be. And if somebody uses all the manipulation cards of, well, if you would love me enough, then you would for sure do things the way I want, and you would take responsibility, and you would make sure to stop the problem that the other person's doing. You have to remember, you're not responsible, and you may not be capable. And the other reason I'm saying it is that whoever does this to someone else, whoever tries making someone else feel like they're responsible or manipulate someone else to feel responsible to solve a problem that they're not responsible for, is very wrong. It's very wrong. And often it doesn't even work. In other words, if screaming at your husband to take responsibility would help, then at least I understand that, you know, it's a big nesoyan to not scream at him if it could help. But usually, just understanding that he's not really responsible and maybe not capable could avoid a lot of the hurt feelings that go between husband and wife, trying to make the other person feel responsible, and anyway not getting the results you want, and of course blaming him for not getting the right results. Now, there's always the exceptions to the rule. If there's something dangerous going on, then even though you're not responsible for someone's choices, then of course you have to do what you could to stop it, whether it's an abusive situation or a dangerous situation. Right? In this case, your son and your wife are not getting along. You're not responsible for your wife's actions. You're not. Even when your son asks you, Tati, how could you let her do that? You didn't let her do that. And when your wife asks you, how could you let him do that? You didn't let him do it. So unless there's something of danger going on, which requires jumping in and doing whatever you could do, even if you're not responsible, or somebody's actually abusing someone and saying, well, I'm not responsible, means you're neglecting something abusive that you should be responsible for. In most cases, where you don't have these exceptions, it's important just to know your role. Your role, and any advice I might give you to try to do, is not, you're not doing it because you're responsible and you don't want to make... You don't want to let people make you feel that you're responsible, which automatically will interpret itself in you better do what I say you have to do because you're responsible and all that. So that's just by way of introduction, I should say. I have seen people that weren't doing what they were responsible to do. So let me just explain this part over here. And that's what I mentioned before about enabling. If there was something simple that you could say that you agree that may work, and doesn't, it's not risk taking, and there's no reason not to say it, and you choose not to because it's not my thing, I don't want to deal with this, that's irresponsible, right? Especially as a parent, as a partner, you're in this home. I've seen many people who were looking at a spouse for help and saying, you know, maybe you could just suggest this, maybe it will work. Maybe if you don't make believe it's okay, it will stop happening. Instead of encouraging it, like, no, it has nothing to do with me. That's irresponsible. What do you mean it has nothing to do with you? You live here, you're parenting, you're co-parenting, you're part of this, and you're actually allowing something to happen by encouraging it, or at least by making believe that you're okay with it. That's obviously a problem. But if you're not doing that, and you tried whatever you think you could have done, or for whatever reason you have reasons to believe that if you try to do what someone else is telling you you should be doing, it's not going to work, then you may not be responsible, you know, to do something that you feel could cause damage, just because the other person will say, I don't care if it causes damage, I want you to do it anyway. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. You definitely have allegiance to two people here, and you want to make sure that you're not causing damage to either one because of the other, and sometimes it's best to say, I don't feel I could do this. It's a very touchy topic, and you know, I'm hoping that I'm not going to get bad feedback for saying this, but I know that people could be sensitive about the way I'm presenting it. But I've seen this so many times, and I feel it's important for people to realize that you may not be capable or responsible for someone else's choices. Now, what could you do, and you want to do, right? You're writing this letter because you want to do it. You're not writing to me a letter, what do I do? My wife harasses me that I'm doing the wrong thing, and she claims I'm supposed to be doing something. No, you're telling me you want to do something to make this better. So it's important to figure out what you could do. And I think everyone should do what they could do. Whatever you could do, you want to do. So I think the first thing to know, even though it doesn't sound like you're making this mistake, but sometimes people think, whether it's coming from being naive or hopeful or optimistic, that, you know, I'll talk to my wife and my son together, and I'll have a talk with them, I'll explain to them, and I'll say it the way it is, and I'll either call them both out on what they're doing wrong, or I'll tell them both why the other one's really right, or... It doesn't work. It doesn't work in real life. These kind of struggles, these kind of problems are emotional, not logical. Sometimes it looks so simple. And when I hear therapists say these kind of things, like, tell your husband to come to me for two sessions, all will be good. And, seriously, you really think so? In two sessions, what, you're going to tell him some information, some magic line that he didn't know? It doesn't work like that in real life. I don't mean to say that it has to be a long-term thing. It just sounds silly when somebody thinks that when I'll impart my wisdom on your spouse, everything will be good, as if there's a piece of information missing. That's not how problems work. They're emotional. They're tense. They're high-wired, a lot of these conflicts over here. And just assuming that you'll say something or tell them something that they didn't know, or write them both a letter, it's not going to work. In general, marriage counselors, when they try to sit with a couple together, hoping that, you know, having them in the same room and venting and hashing, that's what's going to do it. Sometimes one of the two is smart enough not to say what's really on their mind because they don't want to hurt the spouse, but then they go away without the benefit of having expressed themselves. Other times, they get the green light of, no, here's a safe environment. You can say whatever you want. It's a couple session. You don't have to... No filters. You mean it? And then they go hurt each other's feelings, and then they have to go home, and the therapist goes to sleep, and they're left at home with all the resentment. That's what you said about me? How dare you? That's what you think of me? It doesn't work like that. Aaron HaKohen, the Ohev Shulam, Bered Shulam, didn't do that. He didn't do that. He didn't address people together. He addressed them separately. And he told them each what they had to hear. And he was trying to appeal to their ego and their feelings. And that's how he got them to come together. There was no unified message that they were both able to hear and accept. And I think that's just an important... it's so simple, but it's so important. And sometimes people assume that they could beat that system. It doesn't work. Now, the first thing when you're talking to anyone, whether you're addressing your wife or you're addressing your son, I think it's important to tell both of them how much you understand them and their struggle and validate. Now, sometimes people say, what do you mean? My son should be respectful to his mother. How can I validate? Or my wife is being unreasonable. How can I validate? Validating and understanding and empathizing with somebody is something that you could always do, and I think everyone deserves it. If your son is 20 years old and he's not getting along with his mother, it's not going to help him or you to give him misr and start learning with him the halachos of kibud av hayim and tell him how wrong he is. It's just not going to work. So you can right away put that in the geder of mitzvah lo lomer devash lo nishma, and maybe mitzvah shiyushogim also. Start off by understanding him and saying, yes, I understand that when mommy screams at you or gives you attitude or tells you to do things or talks to you in a way that's below your age or dignity, it's very, very painful. I really understand it. And you could really understand it. And you don't have to right away go into the but, blah, blah, blah. Let him hear that you really understand him. And when your wife is venting to you about the fact that your son is disrespectful to her, you can really understand her. The fact that you think that she should have been addressing him differently doesn't mean you can't understand and feel along. you'd be surprised by how much that could accomplish. You'd be surprised by how much your wife could feel better knowing that her husband really understands the challenge, even if he's not willing to do what she wants him to do now, or even if he doesn't necessarily agree with her, or he's not part of the problem. She might just feel better that you really understood her, and she may have never gotten that yet from you. And it may calm her down. And it may make her emotional antennas go down, and her emotional thermometer go down, when your son is disrespectful, knowing that she has your back, and you understand her at least, instead of feeling judged by you and disrespected by him. And same the other way around. When your son really feels that, okay, at least my Tati gets me, you know, it's not, I can't wait till I get married and get out of this house, but Tati really gets it. And he's watching, he's not judging me, he's not upset at me for it. That could really do a lot, and a lot of times that has to be expressed. The next thing that Aaron HaKohen did was that he told each person nice things from the other person about them. Your friend really wants to apologize to you. He's so embarrassed by what he did. You'd be surprised that very often you could say these kind of things, and even if in the beginning it will sound a little unbelievable, your wife will say, "Wow, he said, I can't believe he said that." No, I'm telling you, he told me he feels terrible every time this happens. He understands that he can't always control himself and he's working on himself, but he feels terrible about it. And you could say the same thing to your son. I don't see why they shouldn't both be hearing nice things, you know, from the other. And in general, nice things about each other. I heard my son telling his chavrusa that his mother is the best mother, or whatever, you know, nice feedback, or making sure it gets around the other way. There's so much you could do as the middleman without being responsible to do so, without anyone telling you have to do it, but you could definitely try to bring people a little closer together. You could also try to give suggestions. Now, with your son, you could and should suggest different ways that he could communicate with mommy, and you could be clear about the fact that there's a mitzvah of kibbutz avraham, and that as hard as it is, and as much as you understand the struggle, and you feel along, and as much as you don't know if you would have done any better with your own mommy if this would be the situation, without making anyone feel judged, you really think that he should take into consideration the fact that it's kibbutz avraham, and he really does have to honor and respect his mommy as hard as it is. And you could add that you'll respect him for it, and you look up to him for trying, and you know it's not easy, and you'll appreciate the effort he's putting in. There's so many nice ways to sugarcoat a message of, that's not how you talk to a mommy. And there's no reason why he shouldn't hear it from you. And sometimes if he hears it from you in a very gentle way, with the right amount of understanding before and after, and he knows that you're watching him and cheering him on and appreciating his efforts, maybe he'll be able to do it better. Much better than if you would be telling him, how dare you, how could you, yeshiva bachar, I understand, right? And he's just getting defensive. You don't get it. Your mommy never screamed at you. And same thing the other way around. You could do this to your wife as well, without the kibbutz avraham factor. You could tell her clearly that I understand that he's wrong, and he should be more respectful. And I'm talking to him, and I see how much he wants to do it. I think that if you would give him a choice, or talk to him this way, I think it'll make a difference. Could be I'm wrong. Could be if he'd be disrespectful to me, I wouldn't either be able to do it the right way. When people hear what they have to separately, that could accomplish a lot. That could accomplish a lot. And when either one of them has good ideas for you, I think you should tell her, I think you should tell him, you better do this, you better do that. And the crazy things I've heard children tell parents, you better get divorced, you better whatever. It's fine to say, I understand you. I understand that that's what you think I should be doing. I'll think about it, but for now, I don't think it will be helpful. And I would appreciate it if you let me make my own decision. You don't have to get thrown off when somebody tries to make you feel more responsible than you are for other people's choices, or responsible to do what they think you should be doing just because that's what they decided. So with the right amount of communication, the right amount of gentle go-between, I think there's a lot that somebody who is not responsible, maybe not even capable of dictating what people will choose, but there's a lot that could be accomplished over here. Now, like I said, the short term, you're going on a vacation, you're spending a Yom Tov together, Simcha together, things like that, it could be addressed specifically and with clarity. In other words, I think it could be easier sometimes to pick up on the details where it will be relevant, whether it's a scheduling issue, whether it's a spending issue, whether it's... And you could address it with confidence and clearly, and just open communication and assertive, validating talk could accomplish a lot of that. But if you're looking for the bigger picture, which is obviously much more important, you look to solve all the conflict and the resentment and the hurt feelings, you know, investing in it in a healthy, smooth, gentle, collective, general way, I think will definitely bring better results in the big picture. So that's my short feedback. A lot of these situations definitely could use some one-on-one guidance and counseling, you know, to really apply the information properly. But just to recap, a lot of what you're describing is definitely typical and normal, so don't get thrown over by that. I don't think you're responsible, maybe not even capable of controlling other people, even though sometimes others will try to make you feel like you are. And that if you do address people the right way and understand them and bring the healthy messages and try to give that nice, gentle suggestion, you know, in the middle, and help people understand each other better. And I believe you could definitely be promoting a lot of shul and b'shalva, And I think, you know, this is just a good example of when and how much to be hoilech batzas ishtoi, how much you have to not disregard what your wife is telling you because she's in pain and she's dealing with a child who's making her life hard and she has to see that you're there for her and she does deserve that. On the other hand, not always is it good to go all the way batzas ishtoi and do whatever she tells you to do and then start fighting with your son and not even solving any problems and just making things worse. And I've seen that happen so many times that it's so painful to see where one parent pulled in the other one into a conflict with a child and now they're both not on talking terms and nobody accomplished anything. So I think with that amount of havchuna, understanding when yeah, when not, and the right amount of siyat d'shmaya, we can get it right and all live together.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.